Hello and welcome to the TalkCast Pod Show, the number one show on the internet and the captains of all hindsight. I'm your host, the New Year's baby, Lanny Pator, and I'm here with Daddy Time, Takahata 101.
Oh, shit. Is that the name now? Fuck. All right. Well,
I don't know. I guess.
Well, hey. Hi, everybody. Hi, Taka. Don't. Scott, you'll get to you in a second.
I don't know. And Grandfather Time.
Ooh, there we go.
Hey, just because I'm turning, just because I'm turning 34 in, oh wow, literally 1 week.
Huh. It's been 1 week.
Yeah, your birthday's coming up.
Learn how to time, Kurt.
So it has been. What happened? Like, I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog came out and then
nothing.
I just blacked out.
So from what I remember, I came back from Christmas vacation, had a rough couple weeks. I called you guys in a panic telling you a disease was coming. And
yeah, the disease.
You joke.
The disease.
You joke, but that's what February was for me.
I feel like, so we've actually been pretty quiet about all of that this whole year. But I feel like it is going to be impossible not to talk about that a little bit this episode.
It shut down everything, including all the stuff that we were working on, like Unabridged. I was having so much fun working on that, and then all of a sudden, done. Like, yeah. I was going out to California for a media event, and like the week I was getting back was the week we were supposed to start like filming the next episode, and that's when all the shutdowns happened. Like as soon as I got home. It was insane.
I remember messaging you before you left, going, "Do you have a mask yet?" And you're like, "No, get a mask."
No, dude, that is incorrect. I told you I bought a mask well in advance of that flight. I planned around it.
Back in February, I was already like, "Get a mask."
Yeah, I mean, I got a mask. I got two masks.
I got a box of masks.
I got a mask when people on Twitter, like when I took like a little selfie on the plane, they're like, you know, masks don't help, right?
It's important to address it because the thing is, our opinion about a lot of the media we engaged in this year changed because of the circumstances of COVID. And all the pressure of this year.
It absolutely did.
We all turned to multiplayer games in a level I've never seen us do. Because we all got to play Among... Sorry, I'm talking about myself and shit. But Scott, where can I...
We got into Among Us because of how socially isolated everybody got.
Absolutely. One of the reasons why that and Phasmophobia blew up this year was because we couldn't leave our homes.
You needed those social games.
And I'm happy that those games came out. I'm happy for those creators especially because that was not their intention. They just wanted to make a game. They never intended it to get as big as they did, and that's why I'm so fucking happy for them. It's like two groups are like the Stardew Valley guy. You know, you're just so happy for their success because you know how much hard they work. And also, you saw the Stardew Valley guy's desk. It upset me when I saw his desk that he made that game on. Did you see it? Did you see the desk he used?
I have not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no clue.
Okay, he posted a picture of his desk that he coded and made Stardew Valley on, and then he posted the new desk he bought finally after all the success.
What was wrong with the first desk? Was it just like
Nick,
older,
I know, I,
cluttered?
I take away the punchline by describing it to you.
But you're on an audible platform here. You need
That's
to
true.
Describe
okay,
things.
Okay, so essentially it was not a desk. It was a corner table. From what I'm understanding, a CRT monitor on a bunch of magazines.
Oh, boy.
It was Nick, I said again, you gotta go look. Because it takes... I cannot give it justice with my vocalizations.
Well, you heard it, everybody. Go Google Stardew Valley guy's desk.
Actually, I am doing that now. Stardew Valley guy's desk.
But it's insane, like, how this year has changed how we, like... How
oh my
we,
Christ. Oh no.
Oh, he's just like, yeah, exactly, right? It's like, no, I gotta mention it. It goes without saying, because this man made art on that, Nick. That man made art on that, Scott.
But 2020 really did change how we viewed the stuff that we consumed. Like, in any other year, I still feel like there would have been some, like, general negativity around a game like The Last of Us 2.
Well, we all would have pretended it was good, though.
Well, here's the thing. It is still a very, it's still a very well-made game. It's still very good. It is a really, like, it's The Road, the game. It's supposed to be depressing. But in a year that is already depressing as shit, nobody wants that.
No. It's also a lot, it falls into the category that some game sequels fall into me for, which is the person who took over for this project really badly wants to make a movie. And the thing is, they took a great game and made an average movie out of it. And that's why it was like, for me. But I know you played it end to end, so.
Yeah, I played it from end to end, and it is a, like, no game has gotten such a reaction, like a gut reaction out of me. Also, no game has ever made me so physically depressed.
Sorry, I actually missed the name of the game. Is this Last of Us 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, that sounds about right. I didn't end up playing Last of Us 2. And for kind of a stupid reason, I heard a lot of really bad stuff about it, and I kind of got spoiled on some things early on. And while I really, really liked the first one, I actually I principally did not want a sequel because I really liked how the first one ended and I didn't need a follow up. So when I heard some of the stuff, I didn't end up playing the second one, which also disqualifies me from having an opinion. Yes, I'm sorry. If you haven't played it,
okay.
No, don't.
Am I not allowed to have an opinion about the cutscenes I saw?
I mean, you can, but they're only half informed.
They're trash.
I legitimately
think it's a very well-made game, and to say it is trash is a disservice to the people that worked on it.
It's just good. The writing direction that some of these characters took is just, it's, you could tell another writer took over, and that's where my issue is. I don't like when another writer starts writing for other characters. It's one of the reasons why I struggle with comic books, because there's just be so much writing inconsistencies, and this kind of fell into that purview for me. However, that being said, you guys are talking a lot about it in a positive light. If it ever comes on for sale or on, you know, PS Plus, I'll give it a shot. I will.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just, it came out at a very bad time.
It was the complete reverse of Animal Crossing. It's kind
of, oh my god, like, the opposite of Animal Crossing.
We were gonna get to that one, don't worry.
Yeah, Animal Crossing and Doom came out at the perfect time together, and they have this wonderful symbiotic relationship.
As a guy
that played both, they just kind of feed into each other so well.
I'm gonna put that on the thumbnail. I was like, what else happened in 22? Animal Crossing, there we go. I'm gonna put Isabelle on the thumbnail.
Yeah,
but,
I think you also got to think about the Final Fantasy VII remake that came out this year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that came out this year, including my favorite game of the year, Hades.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I'm sorry that the Cyberpunk got game of the year over it.
It didn't. Cyberpunk didn't get game of the year over it. Nobody.
I just assumed it did.
No. Wait, no. Last of Us 2 did.
Oh.
Who hasn't played Last of Us 2.
I disagree with that decision as somebody who played through Last of Us 2.
One against the haters. That's a great pitch. Sorry.
That's just bad marketing though.
It's a head writer.
It tanked so many movies. That's the reason that instead of just being a meh movie that nobody cared about, people just actively hate Ghostbusters because of that level of vitriol around it.
Don't make it a battlefield. Make it a battlefield.
Exactly.
Destroy it.
You made a shitty movie. Accept it.
Mm. Yeah.
Some people can like it. That's okay.
I haven't seen the Ghostbusters remake, so I don't know. But
I'm good.
You don't have to.
The trailers didn't sell it on me.
I'm not gonna lie. I watched the Red Letter Media review and I'm like, all right, that's about it.
That's about right. Paul Feig!
Hey, Paul, stop dancing.
Yeah. But in 2020, there has been some good stuff. I mean, like, Hades. Hades, I have given my life to it at the moment. It is...
You both have sacrificed your souls to Hades. It's fucking crazy. Both these... Chat, you don't know. These two are addicted to Hades.
Yes,
they can't,
100%.
Nick won't say it. But Nick said,
yes, I will.
No, Nick, you said
I stream it all the time.
You'd be talking about speedrunning.
I said it's the one game I've actually considered speedrunning.
I guarantee you everyone wants that.
Oh man, if everyone wants that, I don't know.
Every single one of you.
Every single living human being wants that. That's the thing I've been missing in my life.
That in the Capitol right now.
I mean, to be fair, I actually really want to see that because I love to watch you fail.
Oh, I'm just saying, if Lanny Pator,
how many passes did you have to like make it through to beat Dad?
How many times? 26.
11. Get on my level, scrub.
Okay, all right, guys. Yo.
These two are speedrunning for papers.
Yeah, we're running for pinks.
Yeah, we're speedrunning for pink papers.
It's such a good game, though.
It is. It is. Like, if I can talk about it for just a second.
Yes.
I mean, you've done a pretty good job so far.
Yes, you
absolutely adored the game. I actually was really hesitant to start on it because, to be fair, I'm not very good at these games. I'm actually kind of bad when it comes to twitch reflexes, movement, stuff like that. I always get way too greedy when I go in on my attacks. I have very little
Link
patience.
To Spider-Man playthrough?
Yeah. Spider-Man, I actually got halfway decent at. I was actually pretty happy with the way I was playing that game by the end of it. But I'm not very good at these games, but damn it, this one is so rewarding. The gameplay loop is so addictive. The characters are so likable and so hot. Oh,
everyone's sexy
God.
As fuck.
Yeah,
I never expected a fishing game to have such a good combat mechanic.
I know, right? And I just cannot get over how well made the game is, top to bottom. The 2 years it's spent in fucking
early access,
they used it to its fullest extent. I can't like, and also I'm so happy I played the game when it was fully finished. Like being able to just sit down and enjoy this full experience. It's insane. It's crazy.
I cannot believe
the game that they made. And I don't know how they're going to top it. I also, like, I loved Bastion, and I've been waiting for another Supergiant game to really grab me like that.
The thing is, they hit a certain feeling with Bastion that the other games they've been trying to add to, that I feel like they've gotten close, but Hades is the one they really struck it with. I believe the system that, what I've seen, I haven't played Hades yet. I've seen Hades be played, and it looks really good. I've saved it because I haven't had time to put into it yet. Mm. I will be streaming that at some point in the future. Completely raw, first time ever, live on stream.
Hell yeah.
In the future. Oh, I think that this game was special in particular because everybody, including people who normally don't agree on games about this, all were the same way about this game. And that was surprising to me because different groups of friends who usually have very different tastes on games have all been unified on loving this game, which is pretty fucking cool, all things considered. So I'm glad I've saved it. I really am, because you guys are doing a really great job so far.
It is definitely a, there honestly aren't a whole lot of early access, like, success stories, but this is, like, this and Minecraft are very much, like, a couple of them.
I didn't know Minecraft was early access. That's neat.
I mean, Minecraft, they were selling the betas, like, way back when Notch was just selling it off of his own website.
Yeah, back when they first got...
Like, before Microsoft bought Mojang, before all of that, like,
Before he made billions. Before he made his billions.
Before he turned into a giant asshole.
Before he made his billions. I summed it up that way.
Yeah. Before he
got rich.
It up that
was a very apolitical way of summing it up there.
Yeah.
There are so few games that like really have made that early access transition so well. Some people have argued No Man's Sky. No, that game released in 1.0. That was not early access.
It was early access.
It may as well have been early access, just like Cyberpunk may as well be early access right now.
No, the thing is, for the longest time, they were releasing beta builds of games and patching them in. Now they've gotten to the point where they're releasing alpha builds of games and patching them in. Like, holy crap, guys. Another year in the oven.
Yeah. Poor Cyberpunk.
This is one thing I'm going to talk about a lot here. I was so excited for it.
Everybody was,
but you know me especially. I was uniquely excited for this.
You are putting a lot of. You can just say you were very excited for it. You don't have to say, "Oh, me!"
No. You gotta know. I'm hyping up me because I avoided everything after the fucking first trailer because it went, "It's everything I want."
Me too, man.
And then it came out, and it hurts because, and I said this on Twitter, I got in deep shit. I'm part of the problem too. It's not just the shareholders. It's not just the company. It's not just the marketing team. It's us as well. We fucking demanded it. Now, I know the marketing made us want to demand it, and I know that is on the marketing team. That's why I'm saying they're part of it. But I myself was also impatient, and I did not care what quality of what I was getting because I just believed in my heart of hearts that even if it was a little bit buggy, it still will be a lot of fun. I did not realize how buggy it was going to be. And what breaks my heart about this, because I have stanned CD Projekt Red after like their very pro-consumer stances that they've taken with a lot of their products and everything.
Releasing actual content with The Witcher 3 and stuff like that. Yeah, DLCs for The Witcher 3 are more than you get in some full games.
Exactly. And that is like literally the last DLC, Blood and Wine. They didn't have to release that. They just released an entire fucking part of a game for fucking fun. And I will always respect them. But even them, like the fucking poster boys for How to Treat Your Fans, even they fell prey to the same fucking system that we, the fans, are part of. So I played it a bunch. It was fun. And then I had to reset it every 15 minutes. And I eventually just got tired of doing that.
And unfortunately, unless you have like a top of the line rig, it's downright it's unstreamable.
It's almost practically unstreamable. And it's just what breaks my heart so much about this is so much time, so much effort went into this project, so much crunch. And that's still not okay, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But so much sacrifice, and in the end, it just kind of blew up the brand. And it's just like, what was the point of that? To make some shareholders happy? To make us happy? No one benefited from this. I'll play.
And now they're facing like lawsuits. They're in trouble with the Polish government, apparently, right now.
False,
like,
advertising.
It's crazy.
You cannot. Why they were advertising that shit for previous last gen systems was such a fucking mistake.
I won't lie. That's actually the one I didn't know about that until way later.
Yeah, like that. This is like that part. I'm just like, how the fuck were you thinking this was gonna work?
Yeah, that one. That part is maybe. So I heard about some
egregious
of the crunch. Although I heard that. So I'm not gonna say any type of crunch is acceptable. I will say their crunch was apparently way less bad than a lot of American countries. I heard. I might be wrong on that.
All the American countries.
They have laws in that country that prevent crunch being like an American crunch.
Yeah, I've heard that their crunch was way less.
Crunchy.
But it was
intense, but it wasn't like you live there.
Yeah, I heard it's just like a lot of overtime, which as somebody like that's still not good. That's still failure on management. But when I heard that they had mismarketed the game, I was like, okay, you know what? Like the crunch was already unacceptable. This is just like this is.
Flat
I don't know
out,
what to
flat
do
out
with this.
Illegal marketing, because the game was not going to work for those old consoles, and like telling people that it was literally a lie, and I don't know if it was the company or the marketing team. Which of the two did that?
Like, I'm... And again, I feel like the crunch is already just inexcusable. I'm sorry, but that is something we have to stamp out in this industry. We cannot make excuses for it anymore. Maybe... At some times, just for like maybe a week.
Listen, we've all
somebody
been.
Somebody told me, "Oh, I had a crunch
Scott,
for a week."
Scott, you've been at the night before doing editing. You fucking know what crunch is. Crunch just fucking happens.
Yeah,
it's what happens with some projects. It just naturally happens. It can't be the end all be all of all projects because then you burn out.
But there is definitely you've got to not have it be something that controls a project, that overtakes a project, and this happens over and over again.
Yeah, and furthermore, like another issue we kind of ran into with this game, like other than yes, it definitely needed at least another year in the oven, at least.
Oh, at least.
But you also ran into the problem that so many people just didn't understand what this game was going to be. So many people came into this expecting it was going to be GTA with cyborgs. That's not what it was. You got The Witcher with guns and cars. You got, like, basically an open-world Deus Ex.
Yeah, it's just Deus Ex. We're playing Deus Ex. We're playing a more polished Deus Ex, in my opinion.
And where this game
polished
actually
in game,
shines...
in gameplay.
Yes, and where this game shines is, honestly, not in its, like, actual, like, gunplay, or let alone its melee combat. Its melee combat's actually
kind of trash. Oh, melee combat's fucking baby bitch easy.
Yeah.
So easy.
It's just broken. I found so many ways to break my character. But the big problem, like where this game shines is in its quest lines. I remember like just kind of like playing through and like, you know, you really love those like story moments, just like with The Witcher.
Yeah,
you're in it for the writing.
That's all there.
I remember specifically, this is like a very, very minor spoiler, but there was a quest line that opened up that it starts off very much similar to every other like open world. Oh, you're going to have to go around the map and like do these things kind of quest. Let me finish, please.
Fetch quest.
Yeah. But you start off by getting hit and run by this AI cab. And it's just like, you know, oh, shit. Well, what the hell? You talk to the AI cab company in a really cool sequence where you go and figure out like what's going on behind the scenes there. And then you go out and you start looking for these cabs that are, you know, somehow disconnected from his like server. And the first one you find is that angry cab that tried to hit and run you. You take it out. You like, you know, you ram it with your car. You get out of your car. You shoot it until it can't move anymore. And a car comes and tows it away so that it can be reprogrammed. And you're like, OK, so that's what this quest is going to be. I'm going to have to go fight a bunch of cabs. The second one you find is just sitting on this little lonely roundabout at the top of a hill, just trying to avoid any major forces of traffic. And as you like, you call it up and you talk to it, it's just like, please don't hit me. I'm just afraid. I don't want everybody just drive so mean here. I don't want to get hurt. I'm scared and I'm alone. And you're just like, oh, poor baby.
I have poor never limo has anxiety.
Yeah, that the car has anxiety. I have never driven more carefully in a game in my goddamn life than when that thing opened its door and said, "Can you please take me home?" Don't hit me. Don't hit me. Stay away.
You could do those in any order. That was the first one I did.
Yeah.
It was the first one I did. I went, oh no, poor baby, poor limos. I'm not going to hurt any of you. What happens? What's happening? Is it aware? Oh God.
And so each of those missions is different. Mm-hmm. Unlike in say an Ubisoft game where it's like, yeah, just go beat the fuck out of that car. Now go beat up. They're all on the map.
There.
Go find
go
them.
Go put your flag there. Go put your flag there. Go put your flag
there. Go climb
there.
That radio tower.
Go climb like that radio tower.
That is the CD Projekt Red difference. And that is like the true tragedy of what I'm looking at when I see this underbaked game. Cause I can see what it could have been. Like, it could have been on par with The Witcher 3.
You know what the sad thing is? It will be eventually. That's what's nuts, but it killed its growth by fucking up its launch.
I can't wait for Cyberpunk 2077 Complete Edition to drop in a year.
That
and
is going to be, it's going to be like The Witcher Complete Edition all over again. The first Witcher.
Yeah, but when The Witcher first came out, it was like, I mean, there were bugs.
It was a broken
like,
piece of shit.
There were bugs, but it was not broken like this.
Oh,
like,
no, it was the first PC game I ever saw come out a year later with the enhanced edition or, like, the proper version or the version that will work. And I laughed. I was like, wow, they botched it that much from the first one?
They didn't, though. I played The Witcher 3 when it first came out.
No,
like, it wasn't
Witcher 1.
That bad.
I'm talking Witcher 1.
Oh, yeah,
Witcher 1. When I saw The Witcher first come out on PC and then I saw it a year later, enhanced edition, I'm like, what happened?
That's true. Yeah, but it's just such a goddamn shame because there are so many great pieces to this, but then you just get sucked right out of it. Even though I'll admit a lot of the glitches that I've run into are pretty fucking funny and actually kind of add to the experience to me. There are some that are just like so bad. Like I love charming jank. It's why games like Goat Simulator work, but when you're trying to pitch it as like a AAA game,
you're playing Cyberpunk, not Saints Row.
Yeah, but even Saints Row like runs optimally. It does.
At least they lean into their jank.
But like the thing is, like Saints Row, it's not really jank. They have like tongue in cheek stuff. There aren't like huge glitches in Saints Row. Saints Row runs perfectly fine, even on the Xbox 360.
Well, the original Saints Row was a very different game. Later on, they started pumping them out quicker, and the quality started dipping pretty quick. I heard how buggy the later ones were, but that's all right. It's neither here nor there.
As somebody that played them, not even.
Really? Okay, I fucking had glitch issues with the later ones. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. Not PC. For me.
Fucking PC ports. I don't know, man.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Cite your sources.
Cite your sources? All right, my sources.
Yeah, cite your sources.
Angry posts on the internet 8 years ago. Oh, let me dig them up.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I don't know. Like, other than those games, I mean, like, Doom. I fucking loved Doom. Did either of you guys play Doom?
I feel bad on that one. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, why?
I clicked something and now I can't click anything on my computer.
Hear you just fine.
I have to move. I think I have to move, guys. I think I just fucked. I did my bit. I've done something. My whole computer is shadowed.
And now you're
Guys, it's derailing time to talk.
Derailing a conversation. Yeah, Kaiser, have you played Doom?
No, unfortunately, I haven't been able to actually play any of Doom.
Like, it and Hades are, I think, the only game soundtracks I bought this year, because they're both solid.
Yeah, I actually heard a lot of the soundtrack from Doom, but it's not a game I've actually been able to pick up and play. I've been too busy with other things, including Hades.
Easily my favorite shooter of the year. I went and played through it on Nightmare difficulty, something that I wouldn't think to do, but god damn was it fulfilling every time you cleared a room.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I felt bad about this. Like, I didn't finish this Doom.
What stopped you?
I got to a point where I stopped playing and didn't want to turn it back on again. I don't remember what part it was. I was near the end, though. I really was near the end, and I had to stop playing for a day or two, and I just came back to it. I just didn't want to.
That happens to me all the time.
I didn't have that same pull that the first one had for me.
Hmm.
And I think, I don't know why that was. For the life of me, I don't know why that was. The game was fun. It was okay.
It's a puzzle shooter is what it is.
Yeah, it's a puzzle shooter. And I think the puzzle aspect of it was throwing me. Like, I just really want to just kill shit. I don't want to solve puzzles. I'll play Portal for that.
Well, you need to, like, the only puzzle aspect is the enemies. Like, each of them has their own weakness that you have to, like, play around. And it's fantastic.
It's a really good game. Great soundtrack. Just, I think the pacing of the story of the fights or something just lost me at some point. That's just for me, though.
Playing Doom for the story.
No, but like the first Doom I loved and I beat in like two sittings. It was so fucking fantastic. I loved it to death. The second one, I don't know. I just felt like we were jumping around too much.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I liked the kinetic activity of it. Like, it was some of the most intense gaming experience I've had this year.
The space shit was fun. The space shit above Mars was a fucking hoot. That was my favorite part of the game. Mm. All the temple shit was boring as fuck. Like, literally almost killed me. I just
love the level designs, man. Like, the little additions that they made, the little bars that you can swing off of, the little...
Oh, the bars are... That's... Yeah.
Like, the mobility in that game is what makes it so good.
No, the mobility... This one definitely plays faster than the last one, and maybe that's it.
I have a grappling chain on the end of my shotgun that can light people on fire, and... I love it. I never went back and played the DLC that came out, though, like the first expansion, the whatever old gods thing.
I feel bad. I haven't played any games this year. I didn't play fucking Animal Crossing. I didn't play Doom. I didn't play Cyberpunk. I played Hades and Final Fantasy VII Remake, which, yeah, that was amazing.
FF7 Remake was like better than I expected it to be.
That was in development for half the amount of time that Cyberpunk was.
Although they've been playing around with the idea of it since the PS3 came out, let's be honest.
It's been in development for half the amount of time, though. You know?
How long was Cyberpunk 2077 in development?
8 years.
Since they teased it in The Witcher 3. So they had at very least had like concepts for it back then. Hard to say when they actually like really, really started.
Okay, I'm seeing 7-8 years in the chat.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah,
at least in concept phases and stuff.
I know that Final Fantasy VII Remake has been at least in production for 5 years. So,
was just I will remember because the guy who was in charge of it didn't know until the announcement trailer. That's why I'm like, I don't know. I can't feel they really weren't doing anything with it till that announcement trailer. Because that was famous. Because the guy's like, oh, I'm making that game. I guess okay.
He didn't know he was the project lead on it.
Yeah, that's why I was like, did they just start?
Yeah, he'd been working on it.
No, he'd actually been working on the game. That should be noted. He had been working on the game.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did not realize he was the production lead until they came out publicly about it.
Which we're still talking about Final Fantasy, right?
Funny.
Yeah, we're talking about Final Fantasy VII. That's why I thought it was in development for a short amount of time because of that story. Okay.
No, it had actually been in production essentially since 15 dropped.
Final Fantasy VII was pretty damn wonderful. Like it not only did it like fix a lot of the issues I had with 15's combat. It felt smooth and each of the characters really felt distinct and you could switch between them. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, you give me the option, I pretty much always played as Tifa, because she had, like, the best combat loops for my money.
Yeah. She is actually the most effective character in the entire game. If you can learn how to play with her, she's spectacular. She's also very difficult, which is why I almost never played with her until I got to hard mode and actually learned how to play the game.
Man, she's so, like, but all you gotta do is, like, you do a little bit of your combo, then you do the chi trap, where you just got the thing in the bubble, and then you juggle them in the bubble until they die. Like, it's bam! Like, that was Tifa. Like, she had a dominant strategy that was real easy to use.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my playstyle, though. Like, I really appreciated this game. It had a lot of, like, little great touches, little pieces of fan service that were wonderful, like, and lots of replayability. The fact that you had, like, different outfits that you could switch people into depending on what you did or what you chose or what you said. And the Honeybee Club, just such a wonderful sequence in all of gaming.
I want you to know right now, I'm so happy they didn't skip it. That was my biggest fear. They were going to skip that part of the game just because it would be easier. And they didn't.
Oh, yeah. Not only did they not skip it, that whole segment is one of the weirdest, craziest things I've ever seen in a Final Fantasy game.
I have not watched any cutscenes from FF7 Remake because it's one of those games I'm saving.
Mm-mm.
Why?
Because I save for those long form RPGs, I want to sit down and beat it. Otherwise, I'll drop halfway.
That's fair.
Honestly, like, for a long form RPG, it's not even that long. Like, it's way shorter than Personas and stuff.
I have ADHD.
Alright,
that's fair.
I'm looking forward to it because everyone's just been complimenting it. I'm really happy they really, like, I was worried that, I was worried they were going to skip all the honeybee and all the sex positivity conversation because it's an awkward fucking conversation to have in a giant-ass AAA game.
Actually, no, that game was way hornier than I was expecting.
No, but the thing is, I thought they were going to avoid the horniness. They just fucking doubled down on it, and I was really happy that they did that shit because it is a part of humanity. Yeah. So
no, like,
I
know,
I was worried they were gonna skip it because they were just too scared of negative flack for it. I'm just happy that they went with it. I really am, because, you know, all things considered, I remember talking to you both specifically, like, they're gonna cut Honeybee in. There's no way they're keeping that shit. There's no way.
To be fair, they did change the premise.
Yeah,
a bit.
You're no longer jumping into a bathhouse with all the guys.
Yeah,
why not though?
I know, right? I'm the one.
So they could have, like, an amazingly wonderful drag show.
Okay, see, that's way better. That's a way better thing.
More like a burlesque show.
Kind of.
Really,
yeah.
It really was a variety show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing, and I loved it. And it's one of the best parts of the game, even though it is. It runs so, like, contrast to the rest of that game, but I am so glad it was there. I had so much fun with it. It is I am a little bit worried about the rest of the game, though. I am worried about how we're going to move forward with it, because I don't like Nomura. I'm sorry, I have come to the conclusion that I don't like Nomura. I like certain things that he does, but generally he does a lot of stupid bullshit more than I care
now,
for.
Including some in this game.
The problem is you need to keep him away from the writing. Make the game. don't let him fuck us with the writing. You can fix some of the writing in FF7 to make a little bit more sense. You know? But if you add shit to that already fucked up mess.
Which they did.
And that is why my hesitation, like, to play it has been there.
It's interesting because, on one hand, yeah, like, you know, it's, I'm kind of, oh, what the fuck are you doing with this? But on the other hand, I'm intrigued, and it actually makes me want to play the next one. So, like, I can't complain. Like, wait, where are you going with this?
Okay,
all right, so more of that weird shit.
Somebody in the chat said that the plot ghosts aren't Nomura. And if that's true,
if they aren't, then what the fuck?
Yeah,
is?
If they aren't, then I'm very surprised.
It is exactly my problem with a lot of these RPGs. Someone in there wants to make a movie, and just doesn't want to make a game.
Except the game plays amazingly.
Yeah, I know, because Nomura's doing the gameplay. But the fucking problem, like, this is my biggest beef with all these Japanese RPGs. So many of these fucking directors and creators want to make movies that suck, but instead they make average games with good gameplay. I just, like, when I'm hearing that FF7 actually took it in, the FF7 remake is good, I'm gonna go check it out. Because, like, FF15 just looked terrible. Everything about it looked boring as shit. And someone said, you have to watch this 1.5-hour movie so you understand stuff. I'm like, oh, so it's a terrible game.
And then read all the backlogs that you pick up and open the wiki and then watch the anime.
That's a bad game. I played a good game before. I played good games where I don't need to fucking do extra research to enjoy what I'm doing.
Either tell me your story like a real RPG, or let me assume your story doesn't matter like Doom.
I have been this way since FF13. If you say the phrase "it gets good 20 hours in," it's shit, because pacing is part of a game, part of storytelling.
I remember in Final Fantasy 15, there was this one like kind of mid-boss character, this almost like rival character that would pop up every now and again. And at one point in the game, he just stopped showing up. And apparently you find out that he died off screen in a newspaper article if you find it in the right area to look.
Yep.
Yeah. 15, Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, for fuck's sake, really?
Yeah.
Like dude, like who shows up? They make him play out like he's like the Cypher of this game or something, or Cypher, however the hell you want to pronounce it. And
Final Fantasy 18 remix.
Do you even see the death?
No.
What?
You read about it in a newspaper clipping.
Can you miss the newspaper clipping though? Is it like? Do you have to get it?
Yeah, you can miss it.
Fuck,
you can absolutely miss it.
Yeah, there are ways.
If they added it in later, I never went back and played the whatever the fuck version is, the Royal whatever edition.
They patched in a bunch of stuff later in DLC. Yes.
Then they should have released a finished game.
I mean, look, I'm not okay. They should have released a finished game is a mantra that we can all genuinely agree with. Unfortunately, that's just not the way the industry seems to want to do these things, which is really maddening. And somebody earlier said that we need to stop doing digital pre-orders. I fucking agree. I'm sorry. I put Cyberpunk 2077 as a wish list thing, and my mother-in-law bought it for me for the PS4. I got fucked real bad.
You can't even play it.
That's my last pre-order, by the way, is Cyberpunk. No, never, never pre-order again.
I'm never going to pre-order
last,
shit again.
Last time ever. For me. I was like, that's what did it.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. There have been good games, luckily, this year, and we talked about one, and we talked about a few of them. But do you guys have any favorite movies from the year?
A movie came out this year? Which one?
You won't believe this. You probably won't believe it when I say this, but Birds of Prey actually came out this year.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You're right.
It came out a week before Sonic.
Yes. Move
out of the way, boys. It's time for the ladies to have their movie.
I remember because idiots online decided that it was a point of contest between it and Sonic the Hedgehog. And I'm sorry if you compare those films. Grow up. Go outside, touch some fucking grass.
Jesus Christ, I know, right?
Yeah, touch a titty.
Jesus Christ.
Only with consent.
Like, I don't even love Birds of Prey all that much. Sonic was genuinely a more interesting film at the end of the day for me. I still liked Birds of Prey, and there's no reason to compare them. And everyone was. It's like when people compare Tangled and Frozen, but worse.
Yeah, because at least those two are, like, both animated Disney movies.
Yeah,
this is, like, one's an R-rated movie about female, like, demi-heroes, and the other one is about a little blue hedgehog that's really fast, and Jim Carrey wanting to suck some titty.
I'm trying to remember. Is Birds of Prey, that's just pretty much that's the all-women team of...
That's the Margot Robbie, like, it's the Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, it was more or less the Harley Quinn movie, like Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. It was one of the names they called it.
They actually ended up changing that name later, too, because they realized it was sort of false advertising. Which it was. It was not a Birds of Prey movie. It was a Harley Quinn movie that could have led into a Birds of Prey movie
Blows my fucking mind they didn't put her name in the title. Like, it's like, why the fuck? That's the most marketable.
But by the end, they did, though.
Yeah, by the end, they did.
It feels like a Suicide Squad movie. It comes across that way.
It was way better than Suicide Squad.
It's better than Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad's a pile of shit, obviously better than that. But it's essentially, it is a good Suicide Squad movie, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if in the idea that it is a bunch of...
It's an ensemble film
with a bunch of morally dubious characters doing morally dubious things, and ultimately the name of good. Okay. I actually liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it. I actually came out of that like, you know what? I want a sequel. I want to see them actually do more with this franchise. I do.
God, DC is such a weird fucking hodgepodge of shit right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and part of that has to do with the fact that they really banked on the Snyder stuff being the future of DC because Dark Knight came in and was like, hey, dark DC movies.
That only worked for Dark Knight, kind of.
Yeah, because Christopher Nolan is a competent director.
Yes.
That's what he's good at.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. We're back on the Snyder. We're back on Snyder. How did this... Oh, I guess... No. There was literally no reason to talk about Snyder in this one.
No, you know what? You're right. Why are we talking about Snyder? We should talk about the guy who made
Dark Knight. DC films.
Yeah.
Go see Tenet! Aren't you real fans? Okay.
But you have to see it. You have to see it in theaters.
If you don't see it in theaters, you're the worst.
Yeah, you're a bad person. You're not even there's not even a room to be a good person if you see it on TV. You're just a bad person.
I've written off so many people this year. I'm just like, wow, you really only care about you, huh?
Oh yeah, all the people who didn't see it in theaters. Yeah, all those people are bad. they're the worst. Sorry, I'm not even mad at Christopher Nolan.
I'm not even mad at Nolan. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, dude, way to show your age. Holy fuck.
Yeah, it's like...
I do, and don't get me wrong, I miss movie theaters. I miss being able to go out, hang out with people, get like a bite after or something. Like, the last movie I think I saw in a theater this year was...
You're a movie buff,
either The Invisible Man or Onward. Yeah, I usually see like a movie a week.
You love watching movies. You love watching movies.
I used to go out and just see a movie a week at a theater.
Yep, but you're not doing that right now because that's irresponsible, and to encourage that is irresponsible.
Yeah, I have not seen a movie in a theater, like I said, since like February or early March, like right before everything shut down.
Yeah, I pray to God that everything I said earlier, everybody took it as the absolute sarcasm that it was.
Oh, yeah. And if anyone and everyone takes that as literal and just show the rest of this, they'll just look like a fool.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, no, Invisible Man?
The Invisible Man. It was really good, dude. Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't. I didn't know that.
It's a stupid good psychological thriller. It's by the same guy that did Upgrade.
Yeah. That was supposed to be. It's basically. It was supposed to be a part of that universe that they were creating, right?
Not actually, because Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man in that. This is something completely different that Blumhouse just said. Yeah, no, do that. That looks good.
Oh, okay.
Blumhouse is just kind of going like, you want to make a monster universe? Oh, we'll do that instead. they're literally. I think that's the moves they're making. I think they have to delay it because of COVID. Speaking of which, can I talk about Blumhouse movies?
I'd like to talk about the actual movie itself, like The Invisible Man.
Go ahead. I mean, neither of us have seen it, so.
I'll say this, like, it is a really good suspense movie, and it's less about, like, the actual Invisible Man itself as it is somebody getting out of an incredibly abusive relationship. Hmm. And the metaphor in the movie, I guess, is the idea that, you know, I guess it's a less of a metaphor because it's actually like literally there. Like that person never really leaves your life. And every shot, like every now and again in the movie, there are these like tense shots where the frame is just like a little too wide to only be holding the one person in it. So it's this kind of like Where's Waldo thing where you as the audience are like, is he in this scene? Is he right there? Where do you think he's standing? Because... The premise of the movie is this genius, like, optical, whatever the fuck, scientist, learned how to make optical camouflage with a tech suit, and he can turn himself invisible, he fakes his own death, and continues stalking the woman that ran away from him. Jeez. And it gets really intense, and it's it has some very uncomfortable scenes. But man, what a great thriller.
It sounds like it really played with the fear aspect of the concept, which is, yes. I think it's really cool that they did that. Because the second I heard Invisible Man, I'm like, oh boy, that's really the kind of, that's the most boring out of all of them.
There's some great stunt work in the movie. There's some great technical work in the movie. This like, if you liked Upgrade, I think you'll really like The Invisible Man.
I haven't seen Upgrade yet.
Don't you own it?
Which one's Upgrade?
Watch Upgrade.
I know. Oh my god, I actually should.
Upgrade is just better Venom.
Which one's Upgrade? Was that a
Upgrade is the one where the dude, like, this dude is paralyzed. He gets a microchip implanted in his spine in order to be able to, like, move again, but the thing has kind of a, like, it's an AI, so already, you know,
it's gonna take over
and it allows him to, like, when he gives it control of his body, it takes control of all of his motor reflexes, and he can, like, basically just turns into, like, a murder death ninja whenever he gives this thing control. So good, and it's shot in this very technical, robotic way where the camera's just, like, moving with, like, I mean, they're using a mechanism, like a Steadicam mechanism to, like...
Who's it starring?
I can't remember who is it starring.
Oh, my God, this is... Okay, I saw this movie come out, and I didn't
apparently
even watch
it. Apparently you spoiled the movie, by the way. Apparently you spoiled Invisible Man.
The trailer spoiled... Wait, what? No, I didn't. That's the premise. That's what it's advertised on.
Sorry, the Invisible Man. The entire guy.
I have not told you anything about what happens in the plot. Trust me. Like, I try to avoid real spoilers. I am simply telling you this is the premise of the movie.
All right.
Yeah, it's called The Invisible Man. If you don't think there's an invisible man in there, like in the beginning, they're like, no, he faked his death. Okay.
I thought it was just a movie about a man who nobody ever pays attention to him. I'd watch that movie.
I'm letting that sink for you. Anyway. I don't know, man. Like, it's obviously, like, theaters died mid-March, and then everything was streaming after that.
So guess what I did this year, guys, for movies related. You're gonna love this. I did something awesome. For the first time
What's
ever,
that?
I watched 1978's Halloween on Halloween.
I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're catching up to modern horror cinema.
Well, I actually started up. I just went on a slasher kick. I just dodged all the bad movies, so I watched all the ones that were considered competent. So I watched Halloween. I really enjoyed it. And I watched Halloween 2. Also enjoyed it. I know some people don't like that movie, but I think it makes sense as long as you take
it. I like Halloween 2 more than the original, personally. But then again, I also just really like the kills in that one. Like, the effects in that one are really cool.
Are you referring to Halloween 2 or Halloween 2018?
Halloween 2.
Okay,
like,
sorry.
Halloween 2018 is Halloween 2018.
I know, but the stupid fucking thing where they name the movie the same thing as the old movie.
Halloween has so many different timelines.
I actually figured there's four separate timelines, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's four separate timelines. I like the first and the third. The first and the fourth. I liked watching it. It was really good to see the original movie, mostly because the whole time watching the first Halloween, it was really trippy to me, was I'm thinking, this was made in 1978. Fucking...
Yeah, John Carpenter knew how to make a movie.
Oh, boy. You know what one of my favorite scenes in that whole movie is, Nick? And if we ever watch it, I'll point it out. It's a scene where Donald Pleasance goes up to the sheriff. You know the scene.
Mm.
And then the daughter and Lauren take off. And then Michael is right across the street in the intersection in the cop car.
Yep.
And I'm just like, and he just blends his look in the other direction. I'm like, oh, he drives right past, doesn't know. And I was like, fucking, I was like, holy shit, what a brilliant shot. I was immediately pulled in, sucked in by it. And it's just really cool. So yeah, no, it was fun. I kind of want a big kick on that. But I have great news, Nick. After all these slashers I was going through, right? You know, it's all building to something, Nick. One of the greatest cinematic moments in all of history. Freddy versus Jason, the greatest cinematic crossover of all time, better than the Avengers. Never been topped. Sorry, guys.
We don't have Kong versus Godzilla yet.
We don't have Kong versus Godzilla. And this isn't Superman beating up the Hulk or some shit. Okay, so this isn't that you fuck all your everything's camping in your universes. Okay, this was two separate universes. Freddy versus Jason. So I ordered that shit, Nick. November 15th! It arrived 3 days ago!
Well, I'm glad you finally have a chance to watch it. Did you watch, like, any, like, after theaters shut down, did you watch, like, any movies that, like, came out? Like, I mean,
yes.
there were a few that popped out, like,
yes,
here and
did,
there,
actually.
like Scoob,
no,
Mulan,
no, I,
like
I
little
actually,
things that you had to, like, buy.
Now, to get Halloween, I had to get Shudder, Nick. There's a lot of interesting things on Shudder.
I'm asking about new movies,
oh,
like specifically in 2020.
Specifically 2020 movies, yes. That one Host, the movie Host. And that was the one about the Zoom call that gets haunted. I told you about that one specifically. It was a movie that came out this year, and it was so fucking good. And it was an hour long. Didn't need to be an hour and a half. They got to the point within 1 hour. It was really fantastic. One of the best fucking cuts I've ever seen.
Okay, and, I'll have to check that out.
And there's also one, it's low budget, and I could tell they wrote the script because of the set piece they got, But they got an old World War II German warship, and they get to film a horror movie on it.
Interesting.
I know, right? Again, Shudder just, they make their low-budget movies, but they focus on what they can do.
They're like Blumhouse on even more of a budget.
Dude, half their movies are Blumhouse movies.
That makes sense. Blumhouse films, like, a lot of the shit in, like, one of the producer's houses. Like, they cut stuff down on some of those movies. But there are so many, like, I'm trying to think of movies that I saw that we didn't talk about on another TalkCast. And they're pretty few and far between because, like, obviously so many companies just held back their stuff. I haven't watched Wonder Woman because, as far as I've heard, it's meh.
You know why I haven't watched a bunch of films that are currently available to me right now? I don't like seeing films alone. I like seeing films with other people. Yeah. So I haven't seen Soul. I haven't seen Wonder Woman. I would have seen these. I would have happily seen these films, even though I've heard that Wonder Woman 1984 is not very good. I would have seen it with friends. I probably would have even seen the New Mutants with friends.
Yeah, New Mutants sounds like a good one to watch while, like, just kind of like at a rowdy viewing at an Alamo or something.
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
It apparently is really bad. Soul is one that I've been meaning to watch, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
It sounds really good. I love almost all Pixar things, but without that experience of, like, seeing it with other people, it feels hollow.
Yeah, because
I miss people.
Oh my god.
I'm so alone here. I have my animals, and, like, that's it. Like, I
won't lie. This has been one of the roughest years of my life for a couple of different reasons. Just the fact that I haven't been able to see a lot of my friends, I haven't been able to go out to restaurants, I haven't been able to go to theaters, I haven't been able to do a lot of the things that I did to unwind and socialize. It is just, and that is why, funny enough, if I can talk a little bit about mental health, people might have seen the fact that I've been incredibly busy on Twitter for the last year, like more so than maybe ever before. And part of that is because I've used Twitter as a way to socialize with people. It's been my way to reach out to the outside world because I have been so isolated here. My husband is great and he keeps me a lot of company, but there's also that risk you run of when you are in another, like, close quarters with somebody for too long, you have to put boundaries between you and them. Otherwise, you're going to just ruin your relationship. So it's been this tightrope I've had to walk of spending time with my husband and being locked up in my room alone for hours at a time. Ha.
Mm-hmm.
And that has gone on since March.
Mm.
And if I'm gonna, it is infuriating to me that we as a country did not do enough together to make this better. I'm gonna be really fucking honest about that one.
Anybody out there who, like, you know, doesn't wear a mask where they should, get out of the fucking chat right now. Like, I'll be dead honest.
I'm sorry, but yeah, if you can't even wear a mask, I understand getting a hold of one might be tough, but if you go out and you don't wear a mask, I gotta say,
at least in Canada, they're handing them out at every fucking store you require one. That's legally required of the companies. If they want to be operational, they have to provide PPE.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been a fucking political issue is the fucking thing, and that pisses me off.
Yeah, I have to be completely honest with you. The science has always been out there that masks are effective on helping stopping the spread. It's always been effective. Always, always, always. And the people who have said otherwise are liars. They are liars or heavily misinformed.
They're just narcissists, and they refuse to accept that they're wrong. They refuse to take the L, and they would.
But they're still liars.
Yeah, they're liars, but the narcissism is causing them to lie.
Yeah.
Some people just refuse to take an L, dude. They will.
Health is not a political fucking issue. The mask because it's for everyone.
But a bunch of people decided it was.
At some point, their argument was, well, it doesn't protect you.
Oh my god.
Two people in close proximity wearing masks. Their risk of them, you know, spreading it to one another goes down by like 70 to 90%.
90 to 95%.
And that's in close proximity. If you keep distance from another person, the likelihood of those two spreading it to each other drops down to like 90 minimum. It is a nightmare that there was any conversation about this. And I'm sure a lot of people in the chat have already heard all this shit before. They already know.
But and the worst part is so many people in chat probably know somebody that's like died from this shit because people would not take care of themselves. We have friends whose family members have fucking died from this because people won't just be fucking responsible for themselves.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. A lot of you guys probably don't come here for this. But, oh, man, I couldn't not talk
about
2020.
You can't address 2020 without this.
Yeah,
like, this
you can't.
Someone, I saw a tweet today, which was perfect. We're fighting two pandemics, the COVID and stupidity. And I liked that one, but it's even better. No, you're fighting COVID and selfishness.
And just, stupidity.
Thing is the selfishness is making them stupid. That's the problem. Like, that's the one thing. Is like, because here's the thing. I live in Canada. I'm not American. My country's not immune to this either. To all the Canadians in the chat as well, we are also North American, much like our American brothers and sisters. We are having our own issue. Quebec just went into one of the harshest lockdowns it's ever been in since, I think, World War II. Don't quote me on that. Ontario just went into its harshest lockdown. My country's starting to lock down really heavily as well here. This is going to be a rough go of it, but I do mean this, guys. We're going to get through this.
But hey, at least the stock market's doing good.
We're going to get... No, here's the thing. We're going to get through it.
Have one more moment to vent a little bit in this regard, because again, I try to keep these things lighthearted, but there's one more thing I gotta say. If it's all right,
go for it.
The reason that this upsets me so much is that this didn't just hurt the people who got affected by it. It has hurt people with mental illness. It has hurt people who are already financially unstable. The fact that our government the fact that the Republican Party did not make an aggressive push to say, hey, guys, wear masks. You should wear masks. Not even you need to stay inside. Just you should wear masks. The fact that they said that masks weren't effective. The fact that at some point they even said they were worse for you if you wore them. The fact that they defied the science, they defied the popular opinion, and they made it just to be the opposition to the left. And I'm sorry, I know it's political. You can't hear.
It's literally... They're saying this, so we have to be contrarian.
Yeah.
They can't unify on a single fucking thing. That's... just how fucking broken everything is.
You know what the sad thing is? This play could have been the thing that unified everybody. Because
it could have been.
And this is, I remember us talking about this at one point, too, with this. It's just like this virus, and the best way of describing it, I heard it described this way, was it's an alien. It has invaded our world. It doesn't give a fuck about our politics. Doesn't fucking care about if you believe it or not. It's regardless. It's like when people were talking about the conspiracy theories of where it came from. Who gives a shit? It's here now.
Yeah,
like it's so many other countries. It doesn't matter where it started. Fuck.
There are countries out there that are able to go to stadium shows. I remember you showing me a clip of the there was a clip you showed me of a orchestra playing somewhere, and it didn't dawn on me until like halfway through that I'm like, wait a minute, this is happening this year. There are people in that audience.
That was recorded a couple weeks before lockdown hit, actually.
All right. Well, either way, there are still sports stadiums out there that like people can go to because their country took fucking care of it. Because, God damn it.
Yeah, and yeah. Ultimately, at the loss of life, both from the virus directly and the people who've just lost their homes, who haven't been able to make ends meet,
the fact that this has
been protracted over long, when we could have done so much more early on to curb the harm that it could have done. I've never been more angry than I have this year.
Can I bring up something that's a good note that Nick will be very happy about?
Go ahead.
Please do.
6 hours ago, EA has just confirmed, Star Wars' official website has confirmed that EA will no longer have exclusive rights to make Star Wars games.
Oh, thank God.
That is fucking amazing news. Happy 2021, everyone.
There we go. Now
get Madden away from them.
Hey! Goodbye. Fuck each shitty, eh? God.
But what are your feelings on 2020? Let us know in the comments below. I would love to see all the expletives.
Oh my God, is this it? Oh, that's what we're. Oh, okay.
Ooh, yeah, no, man. Oof, like this is.
Well, like, no, end it on a good note like this.
You can't pull it back from that.
This is like, Nick is literally about to read this article and cry, probably. I don't play, like, Nick is such a Star Wars game fan.
I'm definitely going to do one of those things. But thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the TalkCast Pod Show. We hope you're all staying happy and healthy out there. And make sure that 2021 is better for everybody than 2020. Be cool to each other. Peace out, everybody.